So this morning, if you have missed out on any of the series that we've been doing, we've been focusing on what Jesus taught and how to actually live that out in the kingdom life. Okay. And we know that when we make a decision to follow Christ, we are brought into his kingdom. We become his children. And he gives us a new purpose and a new direction in life. And so in the book of Matthew, that's where we've been focusing especially. Jesus teaches us how to live in the kingdom according to his values and his ways. And this morning we're going to look at, how do I build a kingdom life? What am I building my life on? We've only got one life, and we're all building our life on something. Amen. And so we need to make sure that the life that we're building is, and what we're building on, is safe and secure. So I've got a dad who is a builder, but unfortunately it wasn't passed on genetically to his kids. But when we moved to Zambia in 2006, there was almost nothing there, and in order to get anything done, we had no choice but to build. Okay, I know this is another Zambia story. I promise this will be my last one, okay? All right. But we had just got married. We had no kids at the time. We did have 9 chickens. We were training about 40 pastors in the province, and we were doing that from our lounge. And as you can imagine, when we had a chance to actually build a classroom, it was really exciting. We got some people to help us, and about 3 months later, we managed to build a classroom, and it was a beautiful classroom. There was a kitchen attached, there was a big whiteboard, it was a nice thatch roof, and we moved the training in there. And so about 3 or 4 years later, we had done lots of training there, and one afternoon I was at my house, and I just heard this thunder, and I thought, wow, it must be a storm coming. But it wasn't a storm. It wasn't thunder. What had happened was the classroom that we had built had collapsed. So it was a miracle that no one was inside, but it was a huge mess. And the sand that's shifting all the time, and the roof on top was too heavy, and so it collapsed. And I look back and I think, you know, we weren't very clever. We weren't wise. We didn't build it strong enough. And so the year ahead was challenging. We had to have all the classes outside, but we had to rebuild the classroom. And we had to get all our materials from Katima and Lusaka, which was 8 hours away. And so it was really hectic to go through that. But this time we had to build it right. And I was thinking that this is like our lives. What we are building on and what we are building with, it determines the outcome. And so we need to make sure that we are building our lives right. Okay. My voice is a bit croaky this morning, so give me a moment to drink some water. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 and 4 speaks about this. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. And so this verse, it speaks about 3 things which we actually need to build. We need knowledge, we need understanding, and we need wisdom. And it doesn't just apply to buildings, but it actually applies to anything that we're building. So it's building our lives, building our spiritual lives, building our families, building a marriage. We need knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And so firstly, we need to get knowledge. And we get knowledge from so many different places. But then we need to understand what we're actually learning. And then we need the wisdom to apply what we've learned to our lives. And so it reminded me of this time when my brother-in-law, the car broke down. And so there they were, they'd opened the bonnet, and he was determined he wasn't going to phone someone to help. He didn't want to spend money on a mechanic. And so he just Googled on his phone, these are the symptoms, it sounds like this. And a whole lot of information came up about what the problem could be. And then his wife also had her phone, and she was Googling all the mechanical words they didn't understand. Okay. So my point is that you can get lots of information. Knowledge is easy to come by. But we actually have to understand what it means. And then we have to have the wisdom. And we need God to give us the wisdom to actually apply it to our lives. There's also a downside to knowledge. Knowledge can puff us up, and it can make us proud. And the wrong kind of knowledge can actually draw us away from God. And we see this right at the beginning in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. And we'll read it together. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made." Did God really say, he said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." And, okay, we read on. "When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." And so we can actually see that the devil used knowledge as a bait to lure Adam and Eve away from God. She thought that that as she ate it, she would know more, and then she would become more wise. And it ended up actually pulling her away from God. She wanted to be like God. She wanted to be in control and independent. And often that's what happens when we pursue knowledge is it actually puffs us up, and it makes us more independent. We think we know a lot and we don't need others. And we need to make sure that the kind of knowledge that we're pursuing is bringing us closer to God and making us more excited about serving Him. And then we also see that the devil actually lies to Eve. He comes and he says, "Did God really say that? Did God really say that?" And that's the devil's strategy. He can't do much to us as Christians. He can't do anything to us as Christians except lie. He can't take away the promises that God has given us, the blessings that God has given us. But he can lie to us and try to get us to doubt what God has promised us. And so just like he came to Eve and said, "Did God really say that?" Sometimes he comes to us in one way or another and he says, "Did God really say that? That promise that you received from God, was that really God? And is that really what God meant? Or maybe God meant something else." And we begin to doubt what God has said to us. And just before the service, somebody came to me, not knowing what I was preaching on, and said that God had laid this on her heart, that many people have received the promise from God. God has spoken to them about their future. "This is what I want you to do for me." And the devil has come and stolen that away. And you're actually wondering, maybe God didn't mean that. Maybe it's no longer applicable to my life. And if that's you this morning, and I think there's probably many here this morning who are in that position, stand on that word and say, "I'm going to believe this word from God." Because God's word doesn't have a time limit. It doesn't expire. And we need to stand on his word no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what we're going through, no matter what is taking up space in our mind, but we need to say, I am going to stand on God's word for my life. I'm going to believe God's word for my life. And so the knowledge that we pursue needs to be built on truth. It needs to be based and agree with God's word and what Jesus taught us. It should draw us closer to God, not further away from him. And that's what we must build our lives on. So in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, Jesus calls us to build our life on his teachings if we want to be safe and secure. So let's read it together. All right. So Jesus has been teaching his disciples all of these amazing principles on the side of the mountain. And this is how he ends his message. And so this is really important. This is really what it comes down to. This is Jesus' final words on the subject that he's teaching. He says, therefore, if everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And so Jesus is talking to these men who understand that they can't build on sand. Today we actually can build on sand because we have cement. We can lay foundations. But in those days there was no cement. There was no steel to make a concrete foundation. And so what people had to do is they had to actually build through the sand. They had to dig through the sand, sorry. And they had to find rock. And then they could build on the rock. And then the house would stand. And then what they had built would be strong, and people would comment and say, that's a good building. And so obviously Jesus isn't talking about buildings, right? He's talking about our lives. And we can build our lives on so many things. I was thinking a bit about this. Sometimes we build our lives on our egos. We're hoping to impress others. And so we make choices every day based on, like, how will this make me look? Will I look good? Will others be impressed with me? So we can build our lives on that. We can build our lives on other people's opinions. What our families say, what our friends say. And that can be the thing that influences our decisions every day. Or whatever is convenient. We make decisions based on whatever feels good or what seems like the easiest thing to do. But we have to dig through all of that stuff, and we have to build our lives on Jesus' teachings. Amen. We've got to know what he says about our lives. We've got to understand that. And then we've got to pray, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom now to apply this to my life. And that's what it means to live in God's kingdom. It's to understand what he says about our lives and to have the wisdom to apply it to our lives, to live a life that honors him and that pleases him. And if we do that, when the storms come, our house will stay standing. Storms do come. I know that often we hope that they don't. We hope to just go through life with sunny skies. But the reality is storms do come. And Jesus said, when the storms come, he didn't say, if the storms come. He didn't say, find somewhere where there's no storms and build your house there. He said, when the storms come, because eventually we will face some storms in life. And if we built our house on Jesus' teachings, if we built our life on Jesus' teachings, we'll stay standing. We'll be able to weather that storm. But we can be sure that if we don't build our lives on God's truth, our life will crash down like the house built on sand. Thank God that if we've built our house on other things, He gives us a chance to rebuild. He shows us grace and He says, come on, work on the foundations. Start to build your life on what I've said for you, what the promises I've spoken over your life. Great. So this is just for a laugh. Here's a picture for you. I found this picture. This guy took Jesus' words literally and he built his house on a rock. This is in Serbia, in the middle of a lake. It's been there for 45 years. And I'm told I read that there's lots of rains that come, and so there's probably floods, but the house keeps standing. Okay, I'm sure the fishing is probably pretty good as well. All right, what is sand? What does it mean to build our life on sand? Sand is constantly moving. It's shaky. It's unreliable. We can build with sand, but we can't build on sand. And those are the things in our lives that seem good, but they don't make a good foundation, and we mustn't trust in those things. So people like to invest money, and that's good. You know, we need to grow our money so that we can be more generous for God's kingdom. But that doesn't make a good foundation. You mustn't trust in that. Amen? Things like retirement plans, medical aid, great. It's smart to have those things. But that's not the foundation of our lives. That's not what we're trusting in for our lives. We need to make sure that our trust is in God. As we go through life every day, every decision we make, it should be based on Jesus' teachings. And so Jesus is talking about two builders, and they show us two different types of people. They both hear his teachings, but one actually puts it into practice. And so we can think about our lives this morning. Think about, for those who are married, think about your marriage. Are you putting into practice what Jesus has taught? Jesus taught that we should be loyal to our partners in our thoughts and in our actions. So are we loving our partners? Are we loyal to them? Are we making sacrifices for our partners and putting them first? No matter what, even if it's been a rocky road, even if there's been problems in the past, but are you building your marriage on Jesus' teachings? Are you being loyal? Are you loving each other sacrificially? Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. Are we doing that? No matter what, even if I've had a bad day, I'm going to treat others well, because that's what the foundation is. And I'm going to build my life on that foundation. In our finances, when we draw up our budgets, are we being generous to others? Even if I don't have a lot, but I want to be generous because I want to build my life on Jesus' teachings. And the Bible says he became poor so that we could be rich. And so we need to follow his example. And we need to sometimes become more poor so that others can be blessed, so that others can know God. Am I building my life on his teachings? Jesus worked in a team with 12 disciples. They did life together. They encouraged one another. They were accountable to each other. In the same way, I need to be part of a team or a group of people where we can encourage each other, support each other, if necessary, red flag each other and say, whoa, careful. But that's what it means. I mustn't isolate myself. I must build myself on Jesus' teachings, and Jesus modeled to us that we must live and work in a team with others. And so we can go on and on about every area of our lives. What God has taught us, are we applying it? It's like the most eager student. Imagine a student goes to to class and he sits in the front row, takes notes about everything that the teacher says. He puts his hand up and he asks questions. He reads the textbook front to back, back to front. And when he gets his report, it says that he failed. And he goes to the teacher and he says, "But why? I was your best student. I answered all the questions. I was so eager." And the student says, the teacher says, "What could I do? You were the best student, but I can't give you any marks if you don't hand in any assignments." And so it's the same with the kingdom life. Jesus is saying to us, it's not just knowing my teachings. It's not just hearing and then going away and not putting them into practice, but it's actually putting them into practice. It's building my life, your life, on the rock. And that rock is that foundation is obedience to Jesus. Obedience to what he's commanded us. So let's come before God this morning. Let's pray. And let's just think about this morning.